Well, good morning. Today I want to talk about what I think of as a foundational principle in our walk with the Lord, and that's freedom. It sounds like an amazing word, freedom. You know, we can think of a movie maybe even. But there's two aspects to this word, freedom. There's the peace that the Bible primarily talks about, and it's what Christ has done to set us free. And then there's our societal situation that we find ourselves in. And for us, primarily, we grew up in the United States, and right in our Declaration of Independence, it says life, liberty, which is freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. And it says these are God-given rights. So I wanted to start off with a couple scriptures and then tell you a little story. The first scripture I wanted to talk about is in Galatians 5:1. And it says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, don't be subject to the yoke of slavery again. You know, what this is saying to us is that there's no other reason that Christ has set us free but for freedom's sake. So what it's saying is that that's our natural state in the Lord, is freedom. And indeed, our Constitution is reflecting that in the way that our nation was formed. I remember growing up on a small farm in the foothills of the Adirondacks, feeling free. I never thought about government. I only thought about my family and what they were about. I was fairly respectful for my parents growing up, and so with that I had lots of freedom. And you know, I would work on the farm with my dad and take care of household chores, and with that, you know, I found myself living in a life that was fairly carefree as well, right? My dad fed me and housed me and clothed, my mother clothed me, and I lived a life that was wonderful. You know, with that, you know, like I said, I was responsible and doing different things. And I remember one time, one of my dad's favorite, or one of his classic lines for me now, I was at the time helping him put on a new roof on the, I was in high school and I was putting a new roof on his house. And mainly on the weekends, I was running around in his car, taking kids to, you know, picking them up for youth group or running to church for this event or just hanging out with my friends. And so one day he said to my mother, he says, "My son is putting a new roof on the house, and your son is running the gas out of the car." See, with some level of freedom, there was responsibility. And so that's the way we live in our society. But I remember as I grew up and got married and had to become more responsible, that, you know, there was a large level of freedom there that meant that I needed to go to work and put myself in slavery to IBM for many years. And in a sense, it was you know, they were paying me, but it was, you know, I had to do what they wanted me to do, the hours I was there, and I worked hard at it, and it was being responsible. But as I grew up, I started to begin to understand a few things about our government, and also when I started to travel down to Mexico, I started to see other other churches than the way they behaved, because when I started coming to the Fountain, there's a very large level of freedom here, which, you know, hopefully I was being responsible when I was younger, to the freedom that I had here. I felt like, you know, whatever God had me do, you know, spoke to me to do, I had the freedom to do that. And so when I went to Mexico, I was surprised to find out how much people were living in slavery, even in their religious system, you know, where the pastor was the one who told them what to do, and then they better be there to do it, you know. They were trained how to lead people to the Lord, but they were also told where to go and how to do it. And with the United States, I started to realize that government was not as benign as I thought, in a sense that I realized that there was a lot of control that government was putting on the people, and how I began to understand that, you know, even the whole welfare state that started in the 60s seemed like a nice but benevolent thing to do, but I started to realize that it ended up just being a lot of control, and the people involved in it became slaves to the state. And so I started to realize that man was trying to put you in slavery, and that church systems were putting people in slavery. So I wanted to read another scripture, and it's a scripture that the only scripture that I know of that the Bible talks about our societal situations that we're in versus the freedom that Christ brings. So I wanted to talk about that, and that's in 1 Corinthians 7:21 through 23. And it says, were you called while you were a slave? See, it's talking about a physical slave, and we know at the time Paul wrote this that not only Israel was under occupation, and they were like slaves in their own country, though they had property that they owned, but many places were put into slavery by the Roman Empire taking them over, and so it says that if you were brought in while you were a slave, became saved while you were a slave, it says, don't be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who was called to the Lord while being a slave is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, he who is called while being free is the Lord's slave. So what we see is that Paul's talking about a societal situation of either being free or being a slave. And it says if you're a slave, don't worry about it, because you internally or with Christ can be a free man. But if you are free, you're free to do what God is asking you to do. And it says you can become a slave to Christ. For 23 says, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves to man again. See, that's part of the struggle that we live in our society and government and even church around us, is that there's a level of control that government and people are trying to put on us to keep us from being free, so that we become controlled or a slave to the system. We see this, I think we've seen this very clearly with the coronavirus. I've seen that many governments here and around the world has really been happy to put controls on the people and try to build a level of fear in them over the situation, instead of men being free and understanding what the situation is. Because in John 8, 32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." See, as a free man, we need to understand what is true and what isn't, and then live our life accordingly and take the right precautions in a situation like the coronavirus, and not be told what to do, but decide for yourself if you're free. But this has brought me to a point to realize that society and man and church are all trying to put pressure on us to conform to something, to be controlled, is exactly where the Bible picks up and begins to talk about freedom for us. And so there's four different things that I see in the scriptures that Christ is saying, "I set you free from." And those things I wanted to look at. If we first could look to Hebrews chapter 2, and starting at verse 14, I'm going to jump into the middle of this, and it says, "He himself likewise shared the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime were subject to bondage." See, Satan's biggest power is the fear of death. And Christ comes along, dies on the cross, and saves us from our sins, and delivers us so that we never die. Our body does, but we never die. We just go to heaven with him. And so the fear of death is, to a Christian, should no longer be there. So when it comes to a virus or a sickness or a car accident or whatever you may be fearful about, as a Christian, it should fall away, because it doesn't matter. We know that our lives are in God's hands. The scripture tells us that he has set every day before us. He knows, he has counted our days. So he has a plan for us and a plan for our lifespan as well. And therefore, we can live our life without fear of death. And that is an amazing thing that we need to all understand and live our lives accordingly. And if the fear of death has certainly been washed away and taken away by Christ, then we're free. We're free from that fear, because fear is the one thing that can control us. It's the one thing that not only governments put on us. See, most of our freedoms that have been taken away that I see in the United States have all come in under the guise of safety. And the viewpoint is that government needs to set rules to keep you safe, instead of you deciding what is something that you should do. One of the first things I realized with that was the, you know, seatbelt laws, you know, and I think it's personally a very smart thing to do, is to wear seatbelts, and yet government has come in and made it a requirement, and therefore they were taking the free choice of that away. I'm not going to argue, and you know, I'm not here to say let's change a law or anything. I'm just saying that it's very easy for us to submit to government telling us how to live more safely. And we need to resist that, in that we don't live in fear And that's the point. That's the point, is that we don't live our lives in fear, but we do what is good to do for ourselves. The second thing it talks about is also in John chapter 8, verse 32, and as Christ says, that he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who sins, it becomes a slave to sin." And then in Romans 6:6, it talks about, well, let's take a look at that scripture. I'll read it specifically. Oh, I'm on John. It says, knowing this, that your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be a slave to sin. You see, sin, or our unrighteousness in our life, our rebellion to Christ, all those things puts us in bondage. And sin begins to now control us. The extreme cases of that is very easy to see. Someone who's been on drugs for years, and maybe some of you have in your past, you realize that you are no longer controlling yourself anymore, but this addiction is controlling you. And I've talked with a lot of people that have addictions, and they talk about, well, I don't want to do that anymore, but they keep doing it. And they keep doing it because there's a new master that comes in their life that leads to death, and that's sin. In the fourth thing I wanted to talk about is in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death." See, these are the four things that God, or that Jesus, sets us free from. And these things were done when he took our sin upon the cross. And then we enter into water baptism, and that old man is buried like Christ was buried in the tomb and rose again from the dead, and now we are delivered and set free from the master of sin. See, the nature of a slave, there's certain responses that people that are slaves act like. And we can see that very clearly in the Old Testament story when Israel came through the Red Sea and they entered into the desert, and they were set free. We even sang that today. You know, he stepped into my Egypt and set me free. But we realize that those people that lived in slavery, and their parents lived in slavery, and it was all close to 400 years of slavery that the Israelites lived in. They came out into the promised, not to the promised land, but into the desert, and they were free, but they still thought like a slave. And what we see is that nature as a slave is the first thing we saw is they were complaining about their needs. Where's the water? You brought us out here to be thirsty. You know, I had this manna all this time. You know, I want some meat, right? You know, they were complaining all the time, and they were unthankful. We also see that in a sense, they were limiting their ability. There was no discussion at all that, well, let's go hunting, or or you know, how can we supply some food or water for ourselves? Should we dig a well, Lord? No, they complained and God got it out of a rock for them. But they waited around complaining, being told what to do. And then we see that there was an element of control that they were suffering with. They wanted to be controlled, and yet they were complaining about it. See, the United States is such a beautiful picture of freedom in the sense that we see the result of a whole society initially living under the principles of the Bible, living in freedom, and we see a people that are free, and the creativity that's come out of the United States is amazing. Also, the productivity that we see that has come out of the United States over the years is amazing. Because if people are free, then they're able to become creative and do things that they see to do, and they become creative. They also, when they're free, want to work hard, and they become very productive. And so our society over time, living in freedom, became the richest nation in the world. And it's because we were living by principles of the Bible and living in freedom and not being controlled, where many other societies are controlled. I think of some of the nations that have only known communism, and the government completely controls their life. And yet internally there is such a move of God, like in China, that it's become probably the largest church in the world. And these people are living in freedom, even though they're living under this communist state. Because just like the scripture says, they came to the Lord while they were slaves. Don't worry about it. I remember watching a video years ago, and I was watching it and understanding the amount of control that the Communist Party was having over the people, and yet there was no reaction to it. They only started their underground churches, and they were following the Lord, and they knew where to go for the meetings because it was all Spirit-led, no discussion about it, so the government couldn't find out, and yet there was people, young girls going from town to town preaching the gospel and bringing many, many people to freedom in this society. You know, in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons for that of those that are bound." See, this is what Christ has done. He set us free. He set us free from our sins. He set us free from the fear of death. But how do we live in this freedom? Well, the next piece is, it says that we become a slave to Christ. Now, at first glance, I always thought this was weird, because if God truly set me free, how can I be a slave again? You know, it's messed up. This was my I knew it wasn't messed up, and I was enjoying living as a slave to Christ, but I didn't understand how could I be free and be a slave to Christ. How does that fit together? And what I started to realize is that as a slave, it's all external to me. See, if a government or man is making me a slave, they're forcing me externally to behave a certain way. But it's the same way with my sin. My own desire leads me to sin, and the sin now ends up controlling me, even though I may not want to do it. So it, in a sense, is also external. Something forcing me to do something I don't want to do. But when it comes to Christ, it says that we become a bondservant, which is a free slave. And then the other point is that it's by His Holy Spirit, which is internal. It's not external to me anymore. The Holy Spirit lives in communion with my spirit. And so He is now helping me find my desire and do it in a righteous way. So it's freedom. It is being a slave to Christ, because with wisdom, I've realized that His choices are better than mine. But it's my spirit that I'm submitting to Him. And so, in a sense, it's not slavery like the world brings, because it's internal. It's something in communion with me. It's something that I'm deciding to do with Christ. One of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is the dove. It says that the dove came down upon Jesus, and it was the Father spoke. Jesus was there, and the Spirit, and this Holy Spirit came down as a dove. If you know anything about birds, and birds in general, and the dove specifically, they are very skittish birds. They're easily sent away, and they go to flight. So what it tells me is that the Holy Spirit is so much a gentleman. He's not coming into my life to push Himself around. He's coming to work with me and give me some wisdom so that I know that what He's telling me is something that's good for me, and I submit to it because I see that it's good for me. And I see it's out of love for me that He's disciplining me and working in my life. So I'm able to repent. See, Romans 2 says, it's the goodness of the Lord that brings us to repentance. You see, that's the becoming a slave to Christ. It's my freedom being walked out in my life so I don't enter into slavery again. And because of that, and because of the grace of God that I stand on, because I will make mistakes and you will make mistakes, I begin to grow up. I begin to become mature. And I'm no longer controlled by man. And so I can begin to even deal with leadership in church in a different way. That's another thing I was a little bit surprised about. I saw a little bit of reaction to me even here at the fountain when I was a deacon. But when I became an elder, I noticed some people's attitudes towards me changed. And I didn't like it, because, you know, you're my friend, aren't you? You know, well, first deal with me as your friend, and if I'm there to help you with some leadership stuff, that's great too. But our relationship shouldn't be different. So the point is that we have the freedom, because Christ gave it to us, to hear from God ourselves and determine where God wants us to be and do and think about and to be sharing with one another. Leadership comes into that to support us in all of that. And wisdom comes with maybe asking for advice to help you find God better in your life, but not to hear from God for you. You see, that's our responsibility, because we have the Spirit of God within us. So we need to live in freedom. We need to live in the grace of God and begin to grow up and take responsibilities for our lives. It's not somebody else's problem when you're having an attitude. It's not someone else's problem that you're becoming angry over something you shouldn't be. But that's something that God is there. The Spirit of the Lord is within us to help us with, so that we can humble ourselves and become a slave to Christ, which means freedom. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, it seems so, still to me, it just seems like that's weird. I become a slave to Christ, and yet in that I become free. But I've experienced it, and I'm sure you have too. So let's live our life in freedom. Let's live our life not being influenced by the news telling us to be afraid of things. Because we know, or I know from my life, that my life is in Christ. And in Christ, He is the one who's calling the shots. And so, if today He's going to call me home, then it might be hard for my family, but I'm going to be happy. But on the other hand, I know it's not my time, because I know the things that God has put in my heart to do. And I'm excited about those things. I want to see God complete in my life what He's called me to do. I'm His workmanship. Let me read that scripture. I love that scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. And then I'm going to close. It says, "For by the grace we have been saved through faith, and it's that it's not of ourselves, but it's a gift from God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we may walk in them." See, That's my faith, is that God has a plan for my life. And that plan I know is good. And because of that, I have no fear of death. And I'm working on the fear of man. That's always a harder challenge for me. But it's something that God is helping me with, to overcome fear, to live in a way that I'm free. And in doing so, I become more of what God wants me to be. So thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to end and say, if anyone wants prayer in this area, I'd be glad to pray with you after we're maybe done with the service. But I just want to pray for us as a church. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and dying on the cross for us. Lord, for taking our sin and taking the fear of death and nailing it to the cross. You did it. And I thank you for it. I thank you for the life that you have given me. I thank you for the power of the cross and the power of your Holy Spirit that's in our lives. And we just pray that you would just continue to work in us, that we could be completely surrendered to your will, to your Spirit, and be free. Live as free men and women, able to accomplish whatever you ask us to do. Thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That is my name. My name is your name. For you have called me a little Christ. You have called me a Christian. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would make that true. That I would, in every way in my life, would be your disciple, living in freedom, living in victory, living the way you have called me to, the way you have foreseen from the beginning of time. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, increase what we have here in the fountain of life, that we may walk in more and more freedom with the responsibility of being mature. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.